Hey, this is Jacob Miller of Jacob Miller and the Bridge City Crooners, and you're listening to That Much Farther West, the podcast.
All right. Spin, 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 that record, babe. You know I'm dying to hear that music play. Wanna hear that trombone sound. Jason blues most my life, but sometimes I play rock and roll late at night and I shake, shake, shake as the rhythm swings. Well, down on Gleason Street they shake their face. Oh, 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 yeah, shuffle starts, you know I'm bound to cut a rug, and I sway, sway, sway as the decays on. You can kiss your blues away.
Welcome back into That Much Further West, the podcast. I'm Eric.
I'm Mike.
And Phil is on a little road trip for work right now, so we won't be hearing his voice this week.
No, we will not.
Stay safe, Philly. Hey, Jacob, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, real happy pleasure having you here. Yeah. Hey, we just heard Spin That Record from your album Pacific Ragtime. When was that record released now? 16?
Last June, yeah. June 16, 2016, yep.
And you've been doing a lot of stuff since then, hitting the road a little bit. And matter of fact, you were just in California recently.
Yeah, we just got back from a two-week tour. I think that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And then we just played the Seaside Jazz Festival on the coast there this last weekend. So like the 24th, 25th, 26th of February, I think it was.
How was that?
It was great. It was, we played a lot and, it was a lot of fun. It was nice to be on the road for a short period of time and have an hour and a half drive home.
Oh yeah. That's not much.
Yeah.
At all,
it was nice after the 2 week tour. We were in the van for 2 solid weeks. So
really learning everybody's business.
Yes, van life is fun.
Yes, it's a family.
Roll the window down.
Yeah, yes. A couple of us got sick during tour, so we kept calling it the coffin because it was pretty brutal. But it was still a great time, and we played every night, and we had a blast. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Do you find, because of the sound of your band, that you guys get invited to a lot of different sort of festivals and stuff like that?
We do, actually. It's funny because we started out as a jug band. We've been a band since 2012, so like about 5 years, and started out like doing jug band and early blues and hokum, skiffle kind of stuff, finger-picking blues. And then we evolved like 2 years ago or so into like a swing band, and just we're playing a lot of swing dance events, which... there's like a little swing dance scene in about every city in the United States, which you wouldn't, I guess I wouldn't think of because I didn't know about it much before I got involved in the music scene. But and then recently we've been playing more rock and roll and some R&B and that kind of stuff. So it's really this eclectic mix, but like we find all these small little caches of people and subcultures like into it. So we get hired for a lot of different types of events and gigs, festivals and stuff.
Yeah, excellent. It's funny you talk about that swing crowd. That Portland actually has a really huge.
It's enormous. Yeah. It's
and until you see it, you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, I had no idea anything really about it until I got into like the jug band music, and then they did this event. They still do it every single year. Arlo Leach, who's an incredible jug band leader, he leads the How Long Jug Band. He plays jug and banjo and guitar, a great finger picker and a great vocalist as well. He has been doing this thing called the Jug Band Jubilee, is I believe what he calls it. He's done it for like the last 5 years, 6 years, something like that. And I was involved in one like 4 or 5 years ago when my band had first started, or like a year after. And there was some swing bands there, but there was tons of swing dancers, which I had never seen in my life. It was just this amazing connection between like attendee and musician, where like the energy just like really back and forth, as opposed to just like the music being consumed by people watching it. You know what I mean? Like, you see people dancing at shows and it's fun, but like, and it's not more fun than swing dancing, but it's just a very different style of like music appreciation, because they're reading the band. And, you know, with a lot of the swing and jazz, the music differentiates a lot. Like, you don't play the same song the same way every single time. And so when you're doing like a solo or something like Charleston Stops, like the dancers pick up on it, and it's like a conversation you're having, which is cool. Like, I'd never experienced that as a musician before then.
Must be a great vibe out there. Full tilt, just must bring the energy.
It's fun. And it's like, really, as much as it is about the music, it's about the dancing too. So you build this really interesting rapport with an audience as a musician that you otherwise might not have experienced. And I hadn't really before then. So,
are you a swing dancer yourself, or?
Not a good one. No, I dance a little bit. I've got like 7 pretty solid moves I recycle throughout a song. So like, if you dance with me, it's like, you're going to catch each of these moves twice, but they're okay. So
7 more moves than I got.
I was going to say, that's a lot more than some people
They're better than just like me, like stepping back and forth, you know, like the dad dance. So,
hey, I dad dance.
I mean, I dad dance too. It's okay. I'm not bashing dad dancing. I'm just saying that like, I like to vary it a little.
Right. No. If you could pick up moves like that, you better use them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing about that community too, is like when we first started playing to them, no one knew about us. And we played at the Secret Society, which is kind of like a haven for the swing dancers. They do a swing there every Thursday. I think they still do that. It's been a couple months since we played, or like 6 months or so. But we played one of those events, and then the next month we started doing a recurring gig there, and we had like 30 people show up just to see us, who had never, you know, heard about us or maybe seen a couple songs by us the prior month. And then like the scene builds and you become a band people want to see, and people want to dance to your music, and it's cool. It's I think one of the things that made me enjoy that, the whole kind of scene and subculture so much, was that a lot of the other swing bands that play like, even or in the States or around the world and stuff, they do a lot of standards. It's like, there are so many obscure standards you can play. It's like 50 general like American traditional jazz tunes that are played, like Honeysuckle Rose, All of Me, like a lot of those tunes you hear a lot in those events, but we do primarily original music. So I think that was one thing too that kind of anchored a lot of the dancers to come out to our thing, because it was like tunes they couldn't otherwise hear or dance to. So it was like a different experience for them, I guess, kind of.
It's fresh for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's fresh for them, yeah.
Instead of, we got to dance to this one again.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like, all the bands in town that play swing are phenomenal, like, and because it takes such musicianship, which like, my band, all the players in my band are great, but personally for me, it's more about like the music we're writing and creating, as opposed to like personal technical prowess, I guess. But it's just fun. I don't know. It's an interesting scene to be in. So,
how did you come across all your bandmates? How did it all form five or six years ago?
I mean, it's not even the same lineup, I don't think, at all that it started out. We started out with a washboard, me on guitar, and a harmonica player. And my fiance was singing with us at the time too. This was like 5.5 years ago. And now it just kind of evolved, like meeting people through the music scene. And originally we didn't even have bass, and then we got an upright player, and it's like, oh, this is so great. And as we kind of approached the swing music and the jazz music and decided we want to do that, we added my friend Nate Lown on trombone. He's a great guitar player and trombonist in town. And then when he joined on horns and the horn got involved in the music, it was like, well, hot damn, this like really kicks things up a notch. It's different than any, like, I'd never played with horns, and I've been in a band since I was like 13, 14, like consistently. And I'd never played with horns and just like brought this energy I wasn't used to. It was just like invigorating. It was great. And so, and then we had a drum kit player take over after our washboard player left. And then we have Leon Cotter on sax and clarinet. And he's like one of the greatest young reed players in town. He played in like, I think, 8 different bands when I first met him. And I sat him down and just said, I would love it so much if you were in my band. And then he just kind of took the reins and, yeah, so.
Excellent. That must have felt really good.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
He's an incredible player. Yeah. Are you familiar with the California Honey Drops?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tours actively with them when they go up and down the coast and stuff. So.
Excellent.
But he was a Berkeley graduate, and he's just we call him the Truth. That's our nickname for him. Philippe actually coined that little nickname for him.
Of course he did.
Yeah. The Truth.
Hey, you got a live one you want to play for us right now?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to hear more upbeat or a little more somber?
It's up to you, man. Wherever you want to go with it.
Right. Well, I will do one of our newer tunes. As I mentioned, the newer stuff we've been writing is a little venturing a little more away from like the... It's got a country blues vibe, but a little less swing. It's got some R&B and Motown and just like roots. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of stuff. But there's a tune my trombonist and guitar player Nate wrote, Nate Lown. And this one's called Lover Mad. So I'll try this one. I've never played this solo before, so we'll see how it goes.
Enjoy.
Goes my baby and she's walking down the street. Her hair in color, she's got slippers on her feet. You know she's mine, mine, all mine. There goes my baby and she's headed off to work. She got no makeup, got her oversized shirt. You know she's mine, mine, all mine. And I get worried, filled with jealousy, but the sound of her voice when she talks to me is all I need to remember. I love a man, best I ever had. She's the only woman that I need. She's so fine all the goddamn time. She's the only woman that I see. That I see. My baby and she's hungry as can be. I made her dinner, but she could have had 3. You know she's mine, mine, all mine. There goes my baby and she's falling asleep. I kiss her softly, but she's deep in a dream. You know she's mine, mine, all mine. And I get worried, filled with jealousy, but the sound of her voice when she talks to me is all I need to remember. I love a man, best I ever had. She's the only woman that I need. She's so fine all the goddamn time. She's the only woman that I see. That I see. Thank you.
Jacob, that's a beautiful guitar. What are you playing there?
I am playing a 1947 Epiphone Spartan Archtop made in New York.
Sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It was one of the greatest finds I've ever had, and I do like to find stuff in heaps of garbage.
Tell us about that.
When I moved to Portland in 2009, when I was 19, I got obsessed with family country bands, and I saw Mabel Carter's L5 Gibson, her black archtop, and it just totally was amazing and blew my mind. So I don't know anything. I didn't really know that much about acoustic guitars. I'd played in rock and roll bands and stuff in high school and in college before I moved out here out west from Wisconsin. And I started getting into parlor guitars and archtops and stuff, and just started doing more research. And the Gibson L5s are $30,000, something insane like that. And the Epiphones are, comparably as well made. I could be wrong. I'm not a guitar expert, but I think the old Epiphones just have such character and such a story behind them. And I found this guitar. I was playing a Godin Fifth Avenue, which is kind of like a new model. Godin kind of tries to recreate the old archtop sound, but it's pretty cheap. It's $500 or $600, I think. Had one of those, and then I had this Gibson 335. I found it at Centaur Guitar, and it was $800, and it was a 64 archtop, a big body one. And I really enjoyed it, and I traded my guitar in for it. But the reason it was so cheap was because it had this terrible neck damage to it that had been repaired, which you could play it, but it really hurt to play. And so, long story short, I found this guy on Craigslist that was selling this guitar, this 47 Spartan Epiphone, and I asked him, hey, I'd be willing to trade my Gibson and give you some money. And he said, no, I don't think so. Okay. And so 3 months pass. I didn't check at all. I sold that Gibson, and I was I wonder if that guy ever sold that guitar. And I woke up that morning, checked on Craigslist, and he had reposted it that morning since the last time, 3 months ago, and he dropped the price from $10.50 to $8.50. So I went on Craigslist, sold my Gibson for $8.50, and then bought this guitar later that day. It was amazing. So awesome. Not only did that happen, but then I don't even know, maybe a couple months or a year later. I've had this guitar for a couple years now. Great. I love this thing. But dude that I bought it from contacted me. I don't even know how he got me my information after the time had passed. But he hit me up. He sent me a text when I was at work. And he's like, hey, I've never regretted selling a guitar in my life before. But if you ever sell that thing, can I have the first shot at it? And I was like, of course you can, but I will never sell this guitar. But it's this serendipitous, moment. It was great. Woke up that morning and sold the Gibson for exactly the same price as this, and it just all happened perfectly.
Wow, fantastic.
The Craigslist story that didn't end up in an alley somewhere.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good one, yeah. Was guitar the first thing you learned to play?
Yeah, I sang. I grew up Catholic. I'm not a religious person at all at this point in my life, but I grew up Catholic in Wisconsin. There was a small town, 500 people in Eden. They call it the Garden of Eden. And my family, we go back there 5 or 6 generations, but my aunt, she works at a school there, and she's also the choir for the or director for the church choir there. And so I sang in the choir since I was 4 or 5. And then when I was 12, she bought me my first guitar, and I've been playing guitar since. It's my primary instrument. I play vocalist. I play a little bit of keys. I can play a little bit of bass, but primarily guitar, singer, songwriter, guitar, vocalist, the classic move.
It's usually where a lot of it starts. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Yes.
Well, though, a lot of people who grow up in musical families, though, usually start on piano, it seems like.
Yeah, she played piano primarily, and I always really, my grandfather, I found out not until actually a couple of years ago, he passed before I was born, but he was an amazing stride pianist, ragtime stride piano, Fats Waller. And so I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano, but it's one of those things, so I got to get around to that.
So obviously the music is in your lineage there.
Yeah, which I didn't actually know until a couple of years ago. We started playing the swing music, and then my aunt, who gave me my guitar, she's always been such an enormous supporter of me playing music live and just kind of pursuing that dream. And she had told me stories about my grandfather, James. His name was James Brown.
Sweet.
Which is also awesome. But he played, he saw me an enormous Packers fan, Green Bay Packers, as I'm from Wisconsin. He was a cameraman for the Packers, and he was friends with Vince Lombardi. And then six nights a week, he plays dry piano at a supper club in Wisconsin. So he's pretty much my hero.
A dream life there.
Yeah. He'd like, and I didn't know anything about him until a couple of years ago when I started playing swing music. And my aunt was like, yeah, your grandfather and your grandmother wrote all these swing tunes, or like all these old jazz songs in the 50s that like no one remembers. Like the sheet music was lost for it. I remember the melodies and some of the lyrics, but whatever. And so I actually, my brother-in-law and my sister were living in Wisconsin at the time, and I told them, they all went to the bar one Friday night, and I said, hey, if you get Aunt Rosie a little tipsy, like, make her sing those songs, record it in your phone, and send it to me, because I'm going to try to create some arrangements behind these tunes. And he did, and she remembered all four of the songs they wrote in the late 1950s entirely, like a cappella. So she sang them a cappella. She was intoxicated, so I won't say that it was, like, in key completely, but I was able to just kind of, salvage from what it was. And we ended up like making arrangements for all those tunes, and we play them in the band now. So it's like music that my family hadn't heard in like 50 years we recorded, and then I gave that as a gift to my family like 2 or 3 years ago. That's so awesome. It was pretty cool. It was like this weird connection that I never knew was there, and then it like justified what kind of where we were as a band, I think. And that like process of evolution musically.
That's a great story.
Thanks.
That's a super story. We need to talk off the air. I've got something to tell you. That's a fantastic story. Absolutely. So you were saying you played rock and roll kind of early on. What were some of your early influences that led you in the direction? I can understand coming out west and discovering this type of music and going in the direction you're going now. But what was early on like really driving you?
Oh, gosh. Not great music. Like in high school, like general pop music, I think, that was just on the air. Like, you know, like the song Closing Time.
Sure.
Like that kind of stuff, which is great. I mean, like, it is what it is, and it's pretty good to listen to. It's fun to play. And when you're like 13, you're like, I want to rock and roll, man.
Exactly.
You know? And so that was kind of like the outlet. It was more of just like I was one of the weirdest people. I went to an all-Catholic school, it was about 300 people, and I was the only, this is like the reference point I always tell people when I talk about my high school experience. I was the only guy, I think except for one other guy in my entire high school class, that didn't wear a jersey on game days. And it was just like that kind of weird, like high school, like clickiness kind of thing. And so I was like, yeah, I just kind of found my outlet through music and, yeah, playing just alternative rock and roll basically in high school, like a lot of covers. I wrote some of my own songs, and then I got like into more hardcore rock and roll. And then right before I went to college, I was playing in some garage rock bands with my friend Mike Wells, and he's actually in this phenomenal band now called Knee High. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're out of Chicago. They were a band for like a year, and the Tribune wrote them up as Chicago's new favorite band, and they're just like sweeping it in the garage rock scene right now. They're doing a lot of good stuff. But we played, and he was, yeah, just like a smattering of rock and roll and metal and just all that stuff, you know, like figuring out what you want to do, you know, in high school. And then it kind of led me to Neil Young and like some like Fleetwood Mac and like some of the like country stuff in the 70s, and then the whole wave of piano ragtime and jazz just put me in like an obsessive state of like educating myself, you know.
Yeah, no, you totally seem like way into it. You're obviously well educated about the past of it, and you're bringing the new to what you have. So
trying,
yeah, you can really, it really comes out with you. Yeah,
thank you so much. Yeah, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah, awesome. Do you want to play us another song?
Yeah, sure. I'll play you another song.
Awesome.
This tune I'm gonna play is a little more somber. I wrote it actually like 5 years ago, and it's actually cool. It's a good follow-up to the story I just told, because I call it St. Mary's Gospel Choir, which was the choir that my aunt was a director in. I went home, I think it was in 2010 or 2011, so it was like a year or two after I had moved out here, and I was just like unsure of whether or not I wanted to live in Portland, if it was the right move. And I went home, and it's like when you go home and everything just seems like smaller and different, you know, the first time coming back home after you've made an enormous move is like a young adult. So that's kind of what this song is about. Yeah, it's called St. Mary's Gospel Choir.
Mm-hmm.
of myself when I'm around you. I'm so glad I found you, babe. My tender heart's crying. Cause living on the road, it can be lonely. Yeah, yeah, when you're only on your own. But do you remember when you were a child, babe, robed in the gospel choir? I want you to sing for me again, sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, babe, don't wanna lose you once again. You and me playing the fields of golden grain, some old Wisconsin day. You take off with the north wind at your heels, back to your mama's porch, where I'd wait until after dark, when the moon was full. But do you remember the night in the graveyard? You kissed me on the lips. I want you to see me again, sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, babe, don't wanna lose you once again. I've been back for years, and through all the tears, babe, our love it did grow. And though I long for you, I can hear her calling me. That old road beneath my feet, she's telling me to go. But do you remember when we were just children, robed in the gospel choir? I want you to sing with me again, sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, babe, don't wanna lose you once again.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me repeat that. Wow.
Thanks.
You just blew me. I think you just blew the whole room away. That was amazing.
That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic song. It reminded me a little of Possessed by Paul James there.
A little bit, yeah.
That was really fantastic.
Oh, nice. I'm not familiar.
Well,
write it down for me when we
I
leave.
Certainly will. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely somebody you want to check out for sure.
Awesome.
But that was really impressive, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's good. So funny. You know, I wrote that tune. Part of like the song, the background of the song is I moved to Portland. I was there for about a year and a half. And then I really kind of second guessed my decision. I moved out when I was 19 and like Portland's a very 21 and up city. And so I didn't do shit when I moved. Like, I moved in with this great house full of these just incredible and kind musicians and people and travelers, hitchhikers and blues musicians, you know, bluegrass and all that stuff, ragtime. That's how I got into ragtime guitar, was one of the guys living there. And I just, that was kind of like my core group of friends. I didn't branch out very much. So for a year and a half when I moved to Portland, I sat on the porch, smoked cigarettes, drank a six pack of beer every night and played guitar by myself or with them. Which was great, but...
That happens after 21, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure...
I hear you, though.
But, yeah, for where I was in my life, and it made me kind of second-guess me moving, and, like, I really was happy. It was one of the best decisions in retrospect now, like, of my life, was moving away from my hometown. But moving to Oregon, it was a kind of confusing process for me. So I decided that I was going to move and travel around the country and, like, hitchhike and work on farms. And so I worked through the woofing program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's Worldwide Opportunities for Organic Farmers. And what you do is you become a member, go through their website. They have all these different hosts around the world and around the country. It's this incredibly cool program. And as a young person with no money, it's cool to travel with, because you get there, you know, you can buy a plane ticket, take a Greyhound, whatever, get to the place. And then you go to a farm, tons of different farms. And then you go there, you work, have a place to stay, you learn a skill set, and then you move on to the next thing. And so I did that for like a year and a half. I went to North Carolina and I learned how to keep honeybees, and it's one of the coolest experiences of my life. Lived there for like 3 or 4 months and like helped restore a cabin and learned a lot about the land. And then I went to Wisconsin, and I was supposed to move to Tennessee with a good friend of mine, but it fell through the day I bought my plane. My day I was supposed to leave. I had quit my job, sold all my stuff and moved out of my house. And I got a text right before I caught my plane. Hey, it's not going to work out. So I was like, whoa, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go work on this farm and then I'll see what's up. And so instead of moving to Tennessee, I went up to Wisconsin and decided to record a record of all the songs I wrote in North Carolina. I called it Blue Ridge Ramble. And I stayed in my hometown for like 2 or 3 months. I self-recorded it. And then I made a woodblock letterpress. And then I hand-pressed 300 two-color copies of this record. And that was the B-side that I never actually included on the record, that tune was. And then I rediscovered it like a couple months ago and just fell in love with that song again. And it hit, you know, it just means a lot to me. So it didn't at the time, because it was just another song that I wrote. But then hearing it 5 years later, it just like struck a chord about that entire experience and what I went through moving and that falling through, and then deciding to just kind of keep on traveling for the next year until I move back to Portland.
Strong song. Yeah.
Thanks.
Keep that one.
Glad you rediscovered it.
Yeah, me, absolutely. Me too.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to hear.
Thank you so much.
Well, hey, let's roll back and play one of the other songs off of Pacific Ragtime.
Cool.
We're also got the next one we have lined up here is Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say about that one?
Yeah, I wrote this song listening to, I don't know if you're familiar with C.W. Stone King. He's this great Australian musician. He started doing fingerstyle. Well, he was in this band called the Blue Tits for a while. It was it's a rock and roll outfit in the mid to late 90s, I believe. It might have gone into the early 2000s out of, I think it was Sydney. But just a storyteller, like total charismatic storytelling guy. And he released two records. I think it was King Hokum, which is on a label that he started, and then Jungle Blues, which is like basically New Orleans jazz, but it's very period. And when you listen to it, you just get taken into this whole nother world. And then he released his album this last year called Gone Boogaloo, and it's like B-side 60s African calypso music. It's just like totally different, but done just as well. And it blew my mind. And he has all these Hawaiian and island references, which I like a lot of slide guitar, Hawaiian music from the 20s and 30s. But this particular tune, Trouble in Paradise, was like, I wrote it about like being in love with somebody, but all the trials and tribulations being with them and like metaphorically being stuck on an island with them when times are hard. So.
Excellent. Well, here it is.
Enjoy.
she sings to us at night. It's wonderful, except I'm uncomfortable, 'cause we both know when things ain't right. When change comes round and it's impossible to see eye to eye, well, times is tough.
Happens from time to time.
Yeah. Sometimes you're hanging out at the bar having a drink, listening to some music.
Yeah. Because there's a bar in this basement, which is pretty damn cool. It's a pleasant surprise when I walked in.
It's actually one of my favorite moments, having people over here and they walk downstairs and they're like, oh shit, look at this place.
Yeah, it's like things got real.
Yeah. Here? Yeah, we're going to do it right here.
Yeah, come to my house. People are like, the podcast at your house? It sounds kind of creepy. Oh, look at this basement. Wow.
And the funny part too is, right, like, you know, you go through my garage, it's jam-packed, and then you're like, yeah, just down these dark stairs here where I'm right behind you.
When I walked up to the door, I had my, you know, hesitations, but I'm glad I didn't hide in my car and drive away.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here.
Of course, you don't help. Likewise. It doesn't help that once you pop through that door downstairs, there's a mannequin staring at you.
That mannequin scared the hell out of me. Well, you see its feet, and you're like, that's not the color of a human's feet. What's going on here?
That's the color of a dead human's feet.
Yeah.
Turning black and blue. Hey, so talk to us about the new record you're working on, or the songs and stuff. What's going on?
So we've got, I mean, we released Pacific Ragtime last year in June, and we had a sold-out release show at the Doug Fir, which was a blast, and it kicked off our first tour we ever did, which was a three-week tour, like, up and down the coast. It was a blast. And as I said, we've been a band for 5 years, and so the lineup's changed a bunch of times, but basically, from the recording process and a little afterwards of that record was, like, the consistent lineup of what it is now. So it's been more of, like, a cohesive group of people making music as opposed to, like, me and then a hodgepodge of people.
Sure.
Which everyone who's always been involved in the band has, like, brought a lot to the table, and have all been amazing musicians. But, like, this lineup's so much fun, and it's nice because we all draw influences from different places. Like, our drummer is, like, incredibly into obscure ska music, like Jamaican ska music. And my bassist, Carrie, is 22. He's the youngest guy in the band. He just loves the hell out of Bruno Mars. He loves pop music. And it's just, like, a very eclectic mix of people bringing different things to the table. And so lately, as I mentioned, we started out kind of blues and jug band, going to the swing thing, and now we're evolving into a new thing. And it's like, lately we've been drawing a lot of influences from, like, early Ray Charles, Marvin Gaye, a lot of, like, just early R&B and that kind of thing. And trying to kind of combine it with the music that we were playing. So, like, I respect so much the musicianship of, I mean, all of those styles, but primarily what I'm talking about is, like, jazz and swing music, because the musicianship individually and dynamically as a group is so impressive and, like, a sight to behold. Like, you watch swing bands even now, like, playing in Seattle, like Casey McGill and those guys, and, like, they know what the hell they're doing. Like, they've been doing it for 40 years, you know, they know the tunes and they know how to improv and stuff, and it's really fun to see. But taking that, like, mentality and applying it to, like, new music that we're writing that maybe isn't as technically savvy, but it's still really fun to play and listen to. And so we're just like trying to write tunes that we like to listen to and we like to play and we have a lot of fun. And the way that's just kind of been like panning out has been these tunes that are kind of this strange mix of early Motown and R&B with some like really early rock and roll influences, like even late 50s rock and roll, like Fats Domino and stuff like that. Big Boy Arthur Crudup, and but also with the swing stuff. So it's like this strange, like it's almost like modern day skiffle music. if are you familiar with skiffle music?
Yeah, from England.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, just like DIY instrumentation, like sometimes washtub bass, and it's like feel good, really bouncy music. But it's kind of like all of those things combined is how I view our music now and the stuff we're writing. And so it's got like the really like lazy, fun, just like gritty feel of like the early Ray Charles stuff. But then it brings the horns and it's got these swelling, you know, almost like funky horn parts and stuff. I don't feel like I'm doing, I feel like I'm just kind of throwing terms around here. I'm trying to describe it appropriately. But to answer your question, we're going in the studio. We're going to B-Side Studios. We're working with Raymond Richards in March. And we're going to lay down two singles of these songs we wrote. And that's all I'm probably going to say about it. They're really just feel good, early kind of like R&B feel tunes. And we're super excited to share them with everybody. I think they're just going to be really popping tunes.
Are you playing them in your live set now? Or
we are playing them in our live set now, especially with the tour we just did. We were shedding the tunes basically on tour. And it's really interesting too, because at the jazz festivals that we're playing, they're really fun, but like the audience, I mean, they are really fun, not even a button there. The audiences are primarily older folks. And so they go and they, like, we're almost the only band that's under 50 that's playing at the festivals, which is cool because we're learning so much from these musicians that have been playing for forever. You know, they've been playing the tunes that we love to play for like 40 years. And so we learn a lot from them, but we also get to bring like this energy to those festivals where it's like, let's just play whatever the hell we want kind of thing, which is cool. And so this last festival, we played at Seaside last weekend. We're playing a bunch of like of our old jazz and swing stuff and country blues. And like, let's throw a couple of the new songs in the set. We played them and people loved the hell out of the tunes. It was really fun because it's foreign, like is the best word I could use for that music in that setting, in the festival setting. Because these circuits have been going on for 20, 30 years with these festivals, you know, like recycling a lot of the same bands and the same tunes. So it's really nice. And I know you mentioned the swing dance scene earlier. We played a lot of these songs for the swing dancers and the people in the swing dance scene too, and they love it, which is really reassuring because it's like, cool, we can maintain all of these people that really do enjoy our music that we care about personally and like on a musical level and as a performer and stuff. But then the music that we're playing is not only like exciting and new and fun for us, but it's like a lot more accessible to a broader audience, which yeah. I don't think can be said about the swing jazz stuff as much as I'd like to. Like, I think that music has its place and it's beautiful and I hold it really deep in my heart. Like, the best way I describe that swing jazz stuff, which I fell in love with and I'm still in love with, is when you hear it, even if you've never heard it before, if you're like a 17-year-old kid living in New York City or wherever in the world and you hear that music, if you hear it, it's nostalgic for you, even if you've never heard it. It makes you think of nostalgia, you know what I mean? Like, that's at least how I take that. And I think the new music, like, has those qualities too, but in a different way.
Awesome. I think it's great you're taking a lot of notes from the old guys too, right? Because
yeah, they're amazing. I mean, like, our bassist set in with this band, Cornet Chop Suey, they've been playing for, like, 30 years. They're out of St. Louis. And they're like, hey, can you fill in? 22-year-old kid. He's an amazing musician, my bassist, Kerry Mija. And he's like, yeah, Phil, and you got a book for me? They're like, yeah, sure. And he played the gig and he crushed it, you know? And
see,
like,
that's
and,
awesome.
And they encourage you too, because they say, mm-hmm. you did a really good job. They actually said he took a solo, and the guy, I can't remember the trumpet player's name, he leads the band, he wears a funny top hat. And after Kerry takes a solo, he goes, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kerry Mija, and that didn't suck.
That's awesome. See, that's what I'm saying. A generation handing off to a generation.
Yeah, and they're
too.
Appreciative too.
Yeah,
you know, like,
sure.
Like, it's an honor to play on the stage with these great musicians and people that have been playing. Like, they've sat in with people that are amazing that we love, and then they're like, keep doing what you're doing, kid. Like, it's encouraging.
You know why they've been doing it 30, 40 years? They love that music. So they see you guys coming up and doing that music.
And bringing original material
exactly.
forward, too.
You're really bringing it to another level, and they're like, God damn, look at these kids.
It's right? cool, which, I mean, uphold the tradition, play the songs, and, like, play the hell out of them, and that's what they do. But it is nice to, like, bring the different energy and different tunes in. It's like, I'm not going to play Honeysuckle Rose again for you guys. I'm going to play some original stuff that's, you know.
And I bet you they appreciate the hell out
of it. Yeah, I think it can go both ways. Yeah. you get mixed reactions sometimes, but...
So you're just doing a couple singles, or are you going to do a whole record, or what's
the plan?
We're
going to do two singles. Okay. Well, I shouldn't even say that. Like, we're focusing on one song, actually, primarily, which we're going to release at some point in the summer, and just kind of see where that takes us. That's our plan right now. So there's a little bit more behind it, but feel really confident about this tune. It's called Summertime Love, and it's like a kind of R&B tune I wrote couple months back with my bassist, and my fiance Joy Pearson is a phenomenal vocalist in town. She sings in the band Lenore, and her bandmate Rebecca Marie Miller, they're both going to be singing backups on a tune. We're gonna have a session trumpet player come in, and it's gonna be an experiment. It's cool. We're really excited. It's just gonna change up our thing, I think. So I'm really looking forward to it.
What do you got coming up live in the area or around?
Great question. You know, when people ask you that question, you can't remember it all to save your life. I'm trying to think here. Well, we're playing a fundraiser at the Art Museum, the Portland Art Museum, on Friday. So that should be pretty cool. We're doing that. And then... we're doing Treefort. Before Treefort, we're doing on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, we're playing the Coos Bay Jazz Festival down in Coos Bay. And then the 24th... We're doing, I believe it's the 24th to the 25th. It's the Friday night. We're playing 9:30 to 10:30 in the Basque Center, I believe it's what it's called, in Boise for a Treefort Festival. And it's a whole, there's obviously multiple stages as it's a very large festival, but the venue we're playing is like primarily Americana, jug band, like that style vibe, which is interesting because we're going to be playing a lot of our new materials. So I think we're going to switch it up a little bit from what's going on that night, but... We're really excited, and yeah, so if anyone's going to Treefort, definitely check us out at the Basque Center, 9:20 to 10:20 p.m., I believe, is when we're playing on Friday evening, which is the 24th, I believe. So,
Treefort,
go.
That sounds like a great festival.
We've never played it before, and I've never been. My bassist went last year.
I think it's new. I think it's fairly new.
I have no idea. I was under the impression that it's been around for at least like 5 years, but I don't know. I think, yeah, something about that, like, around that time period, six years.
Fairly new for the festival scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Are you guys familiar with Dobe Festival?
Yep.
Yeah,
we're going to do that again this year.
Excellent.
Don't know if I was supposed to say that, but just recently found that out.
Quite possibly, maybe.
But the people that run that is Artist Home, and they're incredible. Kevin Sir is one of the people that organizes a lot of their events, and they're just an incredible... organization in Seattle. He coaches bands and he does a lot of seminars talking to bands about, like, yeah, you want a tour or you want to do this and you want to build a crowd or whatever, and just an amazing person in the scene up there. So yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. It's a really busy spring for us until we take a lull because I'm getting married in like a month, which feels
congrats
like about a second. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Which is the most important
tomorrow
thing.
Right.
Exactly. I'm so damn excited. I can't even express it. But I should mention, too, April 5th, we're playing at the Liquor Store with Zach Bryson and the Meat Rack. And we're playing with another band from, I believe, Missouri. I can't remember, but they're a band with some clout. They've been touring for a while. I wish I could remember right now, but I can't. But April 5th, it's also my 27th birthday, and it's going to be my big old birthday party. So anyone who wants to join us, I'm going to be the guy leading the band drunk on stage. So Liquor Store, April 5th, Wednesday night. What an appropriate name. I didn't even leave the liquor store before I got drunk.
Wanted to do live for us?
I could play one more song.
That
would
be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll do this tune, which I mean, I've been in love with this song for a while. But it's this artist, A.A. Bondi. His name's August Arthur Bondi, and he played in a couple rock and roll bands in the late 90s, early 2000s, and he has a solo career. He hasn't put anything out for like 4 or 5 years, but just amazing songwriter, lyrically just I totally am inspired by him. But he's got this tune, it's called Oh the Vampire, and it's about turning into a vampire. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's just such a lovely tune, and so I'm gonna play that for you. Vampire's kiss, I got a vampire's heart. Now I don't roll out of bed till after dark. See my teeth so sharp and my blood so stale. Now I could dream the world and never get my fill. And when I come, I will come on like a dream. With the crimson moon shining down upon my devil's ring. See, it ain't my fault that I am this way. I'm just a crying in my box before I miss the day. Lord, what I would give for just one drop of rain. Now the dew is on the grass and I'm late for bed. And when I come, I will come on like a dream. With the crimson moon shining down upon my devil's ring. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. That was really great.
Absolutely. I highly recommend checking out his music. His album's American Heart, and then his most recent one is very like ambient rock and roll music, but his like the simplicity and the sparseness of it with the lyrics, it's really powerful to listen to. I recommend it for any of the listeners out there.
His name again?
A.A. Bondy, B-O-N-D-Y, and... you watch interviews with the guy and he's just like, yeah, I wrote some songs, feeling some feelings, so I wrote them down. It's just like, what the hell, dude? Like,
perfect.
You're writing these just portraits, you know what I mean? It's really lovely stuff, but
yeah, Delaney Davidson.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of stuff. All right, man, we've had just the best time with you. Thanks
I've had
for
a
all
great
the
time
great
too.
Stories. Yeah. Thank you so much. One last time, where are you playing next? So people, this will come out Monday. People are going to hear this.
Yeah, so we're playing Coos Bay Jazz Fest the 10th through the 12th. We're playing Treefort on the 24th, that Friday, the 24th or the 25th. We're playing Redwood Coast Music Festival in Eureka, California, the last weekend of March, going into, I believe, the 1st or 2nd of April. And then on the 5th of April, my 27th birthday, we're playing Liquor Store in Portland. I'd love to see all the locals out there. That's going to be a great show.
Perfect.
It's going to be our first or our last show for probably about 2 months, too. Okay. So locally.
And Jacob, when you get that song done, We'd love to play it on the show.
Oh, yeah. Definitely we'll send that one out to you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. Yeah. Thanks for being here. And I want to remind everybody, Secret Artwork Hot Sauce Company, sponsor.
I love those guys.
Oh, good. We're going to send them at home some sauce.
I had them at a barbecue in my backyard one time, actually.
Kevin Stacy?
No joke, yeah.
Excellent.
Great people.
Yeah. We're going to send you home with some of that sauce and Cloud City Gardens. I don't need to tell you people what that means. And we got a gift bag for you. We really appreciate you being here. Thanks for coming here. It's been a real treat.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
We're going to go out with the last one on the album?
Yeah, it's called I'm Gonna Wait. And again, from Pacific Ragtime, Jacob Miller. It's been a real treat. Thank you so much,
guys.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Enjoy.
My baby, she's gone. I don't know for how long, but I'm gonna wait till this baby come. But your coin, she'll shine. Gonna give me some of her time. Since I'm not here, I ain't gonna roam. She'll cry, my trailing times are over. No more walking out those days are in the past. Was it proper to treat you so kind of big? A good papa deserves a love that lasts. So wake up, come dawn, that woman, she's still gone. Cause I'm gonna wait till this day break home. Says I'm gonna wait till this day break home. Some of her time. Since I'm not here, I ain't gonna roam. Don't you cry, my trailing times are over. No more walking out, those days are in the past. Wasn't proper to treat you so kindly, babe. A good papa deserves a love that. So wake up, come down. That woman, she's still gone. Guess I'm gonna wait till this day becomes. Till this day becomes.